Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreenworld.com, for more information about her guests.
It is so nice to be back in the studio. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST. And I'm going to say it again, I love being back here. And I have to admit, I also loved being in Maui. Yes, I did swim with the sea turtles. I totally fell in love with Hawaii. It wasn't very hot there. I shall return. And that being said, I really miss doing a live show because it's just that total great energy of knowing that you're out there and I'm in here and sharing the great green word. So today, another great show lined up. Our very own Colleen Crown and Shield, the queen of alt fuels and blah, 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 who is doing so much to make a difference in energy and alternative fuels. And never, in my opinion, has it been more important to save on your gas and the consumption you use. So she's going to be calling in and telling us about the first ever Green Pre. I hope she hasn't forgotten because she was supposed to call in at 12:05, but I will text her. And we also have an interview scheduled with Chris O'Connor from SIP. She's calling in from Central California, and SIP is Sustainability in Practice, and we'll be talking about great wines and healthy vineyards. As far as I'm concerned, there is no downside to that. Talk about fun and a win-win. And I was almost late for the show because I started reading so much about what is being written about SIP that it blew my mind. It's cutting edge. It's a more modern look at the way we can produce sustainable products for the consumer that are healthy but not going to cost us an arm and a leg. So it's all good. And let me give a little shout out to our sponsors. Please check out the Mrs. Green Facebook fan page for a compelling article written about Honda. It's the National Resources Defense Council magazine, and the magazine's called On Earth. And I loved getting this article because it talked about Honda's environmental heritage, and it's what I call the third-party endorsement. It's what you dream of as a company to get somebody else writing great things about you so that you're not writing great things about yourself. And it really made me proud again to have them as a major sponsor, made me proud to have a Honda Insight. And it really educated me about what incredible environmental leaders that Honda has been since the 70s. I mean, they started out with a corporate culture of sustainability, environmental practices, way before green was anything to do with it. And they're getting a lot of kudos because they are really creating a lot of jobs in America, putting plants in, so it's great. If you don't have an email, if you have an email, you can email me always, info@mrsgreensworld.com, and we'll send you the link. But you can check out it on Mrs. Green's Facebook fan page, and it's great. And then there's another one all about connecting the big green dots. Another one of my sponsors, as you know, is the Fairfax companies, and they're recycling car bumpers, and I'm not making that up. Some of the major car dealers have signed on. I'm working with Chapman to put that in place. And Fairfax actually pays the dealerships a small fee based on weight and their recyclability for the bumpers that they give to Fairfax. So it's a win-win. And I will tell you, if there's a way to find out how to recycle something, Jason Tankersley from Fairfax will find it out. And he did tell me that some of the car dealers were actually dumping the bumpers in the landfills, and there's no need. It never has to happen. So get engaged and find out if your car dealer dumps their bumpers in the landfills. It's just something, again, I never thought about it, and they're helping to keep, there's no other word for stuff, at the landfills. I have a quick Bookman stories because I see the line is lit up, and our buddy Colleen is on there, but she knows about my sponsors, and I got to give them shout-outs. Bookman's. My daughter is 21. She's home for the summer, and she came in with a big stack of magazines yesterday. And I looked at her with the Mrs. Green look, and I said, Emily, where did you get all those magazines? And she looked at me. She goes, Mom, it's okay. I got them at Bookman's, and I used my $13 of Bookman's bucks that Dad gave me. So this kid's got it. She is our future. The 21-year-old, I didn't even have to tell her. And she got a stack of magazines with her Bookman's bucks, and they were saved from the landfill, and it was a win-win. So check out Bookman's. Why would anyone buy a new book? I don't understand. Because if you need it, One of their stores probably has it, and they're getting ready to launch their online store, which I think is over-the-top exciting, and I'll be giving you updates on that. And then a quick Vervay story. You'll be hearing more about this from me. I had an audition this week for a TV show, and I am going to KOLD very soon to do Tuesday Tips at 5. I can announce it. I'm excited, but you know what, guys? It is TV. At radio, you can show up with your, you know, with head hair, bed head and all that stuff. You don't have to put makeup on. Nobody knows about your lipstick. Well, not so much on TV. I want to look presentable. And Vervay, which is my salon, it's a green salon, they moved heaven and earth to fit me in. And they did my hair and makeup. And what I felt good about is knowing I don't wear a lot of makeup, but knowing that everything they put on my skin was from Aveda and that it wasn't hurting my body, that it was plant and botanical based. And they still, like, I really, you know, as they say, I cleaned up good. And I was really happy about it. So, Vervay, thank you, Jesse, for coming in on your day off. Yenny, thanks for being my stylist. And thanks, everybody over there, for helping me make it happen. I don't ever want to be called high maintenance by anyone but my husband, which it's okay. So you can always find out where Vervay is by visiting my website. But if you're in Tucson, it's in Casas Adobes Plaza. And I'd love to tell you what's going on. So, my queen of green in alt fuels, are you on there?
I'm here.
Hey, what is the Green Prix, the Arizona Green Prix? You got to love it.
It's the first annual Green Prix. We're going to have it. It's at 11,800 South Harrison Road. And it is it's an event to highlight the all-new, all-electric motorcycle that we have in town through Musselman Honda now.
So you're not going to believe this. Just like your story last night, my husband comes up to me last night and says, Gina, did you know that they're going to have this thing out there with your friend Colleen from Clean Cities and you can actually drive? Can John Q. Public go out there and test drive an electric motorcycle?
John Q. Public can go out there. Now, you do have to have a motorcycle license to be able to test drive the motorcycle, though. And I didn't know that, but, you know, I think it's all because they don't want to be sued. You got to have a motorcycle license. But other than that, it's you're good to go.
So do you have a motorcycle license? I wouldn't be surprised.
I do not have a motorcycle license. I do not.
Okay.
So I won't be test driving it. But you know what? It's awesome just to look at it, to listen to it. It's so quiet. You cannot believe how quiet it is. Our keynote speaker is going to be Dr. Ed Prather, and he is the senior lecturer at the University of Arizona. But he's also a supermoto racer.
So what is the advantage? It's an electric vehicle, so therefore no burning fuel.
No burning fuel. It's all electric.
You plug it in at home.
It's so quiet. You can't imagine how quiet it is. It's pretty awesome.
Well, that's really good, too, because I hate loud motorcycles. They scare me to death when they go by me, and I hear it just, you know, that scares me.
It's amazing, Gina. I hope you guys can come out and see it. He's going to have live entertainment out there. We're going to have a green vehicle exhibition, so we're going to have all kinds of alternative fuel vehicles on exhibit out there. We'll be out there to just talk to the public and, you know, talk to them about alternative fuels and this all-electric motorcycle. Before I forget, Gina, can you say hello to one of your biggest fans? His name is Dave Christofferson.
Yes.
It was amazing. He's my father-in-law's best friend, and he just loves you. So
I love it. Now, tell me the times, because I fear we digress, and you and I do that frequently. So
We do.
It's
okay,
on
the
South
gates
Harrison.
Open at 10 a.m.
So they've already opened.
And the events begin at 6 p.m.
Tonight, when it gets cooler.
Yes.
Okay.
And then at 7 p.m. they're going to have an exhibition kart race.
Okay. Free admission?
It's free admission,
okay.
Yes. And then at 8 p.m. they're going to have an exhibition supermoto race.
Okay. It really does sound like fun. And it's fun things to do with the kids. And South Harrison, what's the best way to get there?
You're going to take the freeway. You're going to take the freeway east. And you are going to go out to Harrison Road, and it is out by the fairgrounds.
They can. If you get out by the fairgrounds, I'm sure it'll be marked, and we can see
absolutely.
It.
People will be able to see it without a problem. Just go to like you're going towards the fairgrounds. So.
Okay, so it's the Arizona first annual Arizona Green Prix. Yep. Musselman Honda Motorcycles, another shout-out there for Honda. Don't mind that. And I'm so glad you found time to get Mrs. Green in your schedule with your travel frequent flyer miles.
Are you kidding? I wouldn't miss you for the world.
I love it. Have a great weekend. I hope it goes well, and I hope you let us know how it goes.
I will, absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday
Thanks
to you.
Thanks for calling in, kiddo. Okay, in case you just tuned in, that was Colleen Crowninshield. I call her the queen of alt fuels, and she's talking about the first annual Arizona Green Prix. Up next, Chris O'Connor from SIP, Sustainability in Practice, and we'll be talking about great wines and healthy vineyards, and I can't wait. News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. I am live in the studio. And we have, from what I understand from my friend Jim, a live wire calling in, Chris O'Connor from SIP, Sustainability in Practice. And Chris, welcome to Mrs. Green's world.
Mrs. Green, it is so nice to talk with you. We have sort of an electronic relationship, but this is a real treat. Thank you for having me.
It's the real world. And kiddo, I have to tell you, when I did research, and I do it in dribs and drabs, but I really delve into it the day of the show.
Sure.
There is so much content here. We should get right to it because you have a lot to share.
Oh my gosh, that makes me that just makes me really thrilled because I'm a techie, so I'm all about content.
Well, that's you've got a lot of content, and I just want to tell the listeners during the show, if you have questions for Chris, you can always call us 520-880-5678. We can do it. We have everything fixed. I do have a green tip that I want to share that is sponsored by Horizon Moving Systems, and I was going to ask you about the tip. It says, look for the SIP label when you buy your next bottle of wine. And since I am live streaming, and this is totally out of sequence before people even know what SIP is, but are the wines only found in California?
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting. We've got about 66,000 cases of wine and all different varieties that have the SIP seal on it, and there's going to be more coming up. But, you know, you can find them in different places. They're, you know, produced in California, but depending on, you know, the winery, you can find them in different stores and Whole Foods and wine markets. And if you don't find them, and if it's a store that you think would be interested in this, make sure to, you know, pass along the information.
Okay, that's really great to know. So I will be looking for it, and I really know a lot about this from just working with Bonterra, and I had someone from Fetzer on. So tell me what it is, what SIP is as an organization.
That's really a great question. You know, originally we're the Central Coast Vineyard team, and we've been around since 1994. It's a nonprofit grower group, and, you know, our mission originally in 1994 was around, you know, educating and guiding growers towards more sustainable practices. And in 1994, you know, the word sustainability, that was before it was showing up in Forbes and, you know, different places. So you really got to hand it to these guys, you know, for having this vision, you know, in a, you know, what is traditionally kind of a conservative industry. So we've been working on sustainable agriculture issues for a long time. I've been with the group for 12 years. I'm a techie. I used to teach at the university. And, you know, we do research and education and farm worker outreach and, you know, tailgate meetings all over the place. I mean, that is essentially the root of what we do.
And explain to people, when you say sustainable practices, that's a really wide net. So tell us give us some examples of exactly the kinds of things that are incorporated under that umbrella.
Sure. Well, you know, sustainability, and I'm sure when you have this conversation with, you know, Anthrop at Fetzer, you know, is really talking about, you know, the environmental issues, the economic issues, and the social equity piece. So, you know, we really like the sustainability model because it is looking at, you know, economic viability. I mean, if you stay in business and you kind of keep doing really good work, but also the people side about how companies are treating their, you know, their workers. So, you know, to you know, get more into the dirt, you know, in sustainable farming, you know, we're talking about cover cropping, which is, you know, planting vegetation between the rows, and that, you know,
which
helps bring, you know, diversity and helps, you know, keep the water clean and keep the soil in place. And or anything from, you know, alternative fuels in your tractors, or, you know, doing something with the multiple passes so you can make less passes and use less energy. So sustainability is, you know, looking at energy and habitat and, you know, all of these things that we typically think around environmental issues, but then also the people and the business model.
What about things like pesticides and insecticides?
That's a really great question. And I get that question actually quite a bit.
I can't help it. I saw the list that the Daily Green did of the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I've been blogging and Facebooking and Twittering and doing it in my newsletter, be careful what you eat, because you might be, and I say we're not a bug. We don't need to be eating all these insecticides in our food.
Yeah, no, it's true. We do allow certain pesticides in the sustainable, you know, the certification program. We prohibit, though, I should be, you know, really clear on this, a lot of the really, really what I would call kind of the bad actors, you know, the organophosphates, anything that's a known groundwater contaminant. We took lists from the California Department of Pesticide Regulation, which is really, you know, the most comprehensive pesticide regulation that we have in the country, and we prohibited, you know, almost 100 materials. So, and, you know, it's, and as it should be, you know, as it should be. You know, at the same time, there are some reduced risk materials that, you know, in terms of environmental, you know, are much softer, let us say.
No, there are degrees of toxicity.
And yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's kind of what my show is about. There are no simple solutions. And lots of times in conversations now, when people get me engaged, I look at them and I just say, I'm not trying to be a politician. It's just more complicated than that. It really is more complicated than that.
Yeah, it is more complicated. There's so many different layers. And I think what's great about these conversations that have been evolving in the last 10 years is that people can shop around their values. You know, that really there are, you know, trade-offs with all of these decisions that we make.
Right. Now, what about, do you look at the fruit quality, actually the grape itself? Is that one of the criteria for SIP certification?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a whole chapter sort of, you know, hitting on that economic E of sustainability, looking at, you know, product assurance and quality. So I can say that, you know, being, you know, we're kind of pest people and water people. We're kind of techie viticultural people. The areas in terms of, you know, habitat and pest management and integrated pest management, water use, water efficiency, water quality are very, very robust, you know. So going from the vineyard team to the SIP certification standards, it was sort of a natural thing for us. We've been working on this, you know, in a long time. We just got a national award from EPA. We were only one of five organizations to get it.
Environmental Protection Agency, I always like to, and you threw out that term viticulture, which I had to look up what it meant. That's really a different whole concept of farming for the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I'm an expert, of course, because I'm
I mean, it's really kind of the practice of, you know, farming vines. So, you know, we developed this certification program. We wanted to make sure it was technically sound. We had it peer reviewed by, you know, government and agencies, nonprofits, and NRDC, social equity organizations.
And NRDC is Natural Resources Defense Council?
It is. So, I mean, just to give you a sense, you know, our standards are 100 pages long. They were reviewed from a really diverse group of stakeholders. And, you know, right now, and we launched the pilot, so right now we're in our kind of third year of administering this certification program.
When we come back, I really want to talk to you about, from what I understand, the certification process is kind of like LEED certification for wines. You get points on different things, and we can go into that a little bit more. For those of you that have just tuned in, we're interviewing Chris O'Connor from SIP, Sustainability in Practice, and she is talking to us about great wines and healthy vineyards. And when you come back, you're going to find out just how healthy is your wine. Learn more and call us with your questions. We'll be right back. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 on this very hot Saturday here in T-Town. Hope wherever you're listening from is a little bit cooler. And our guest today is calling in from Central California, Chris O'Connor from SIP, Sustainability in Practice, and we're talking about great wines and healthy vineyards. Chris, I never asked you what's the temperature where you are.
You know what? I hate to admit it, but it's probably about 75 degrees and just lovely.
That is painful. My board op just fainted because it's about 101 here, and that is 101. But it's okay. My husband says, we live in Tucson, honey. It's the summer.
Yeah, it's going to get hot.
It's going to get hot. That's what we do here. That's why you like it in October, November, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, we're talking about SIP, Sustainability in Practice. Let's talk about the application, the process of certification. I think you have over 300 farmers, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, we have 300 farmers involved with our vineyard team, but in terms of certified acres and cases, that's kind of a different subset because not everybody is, for whatever reason, is, you know, looking for certification. We have about 13,000 acres that are certified right now, and that's going to go up a little bit after this next season.
So tell the average person who doesn't know what that translates into. 13,000 acres translate into how many cases of wine on my table?
Right, yeah. You know, it actually accounts for a lot more cases of wine than are actually, you know, certified. Again, you got to realize with these vineyards, the fruit is going in different places. It's all complicated little smorgasbord. But, you know, as of right now, we have a really rigorous, you know, program. Everybody is independently audited. There's an independent committee that actually reviews that auditor report. And in order to be SIP certified, growers have to meet all of the requirements. They are, you know, do not pass go. You can't pass if you don't meet the requirements. And then in addition to that, they have to meet a certain fairly high threshold of the number of points and practices that they're actually implementing. So that all gets verified independently. In terms of the wines being certified, essentially a winery has to use 85% of SIP certified fruit to qualify for the seal on the label. And we've got about 66,000 cases right now from all over the Central Coast of California. We actually have had some interest, you know, from Northern Coast vineyards. Asking us about the program, and it's certainly open to people that are eligible. And interestingly enough, I just had my first email from New Jersey.
I'm from New Jersey.
How cool is that?
That's very funny. Where was it from?
You know, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I was just thrilled that they'd even heard about it and wanted to, you know, find out more information.
I'm kind of shocked and surprised that they have vineyards.
Yeah, you know, there's vineyards and wines
state.
In every state.
That's really pretty cool. I mean, they have them in Hawaii. There are some states you just don't think about as wine producers, and Hawaii was right on my list, and so is New Jersey. But now, that's what I love about being Mrs. Green. I learn.
Right.
So the next thing I want to know is if you you're a nonprofit. So when you say you're a group of farmers, blah blah blah, who actually is in charge of the certification process, and how do you? Is it paid staff? How do you fund that? How does that all happen? Volunteers?
Yeah, I mean,
or what's the deal?
That's a great question. We looked at other programs to kind of see the models of how they were set up, and the great thing about our program is I'm not involved. You know, the vineyard team owns the standards, the certification, the SIP certification standards, sustainability and practice, and we administer it. We send out forms and collect things, but the audits are all independent. They're all done outside of our office. And that final determination of certification is done by an external committee.
Which keeps it really clean.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. We have government folks, academic folks, and industry folks. So we've really set this up to be, the rules are rigorous and the process is completely transparent and completely, independent and free from, conflict of interest. So we feel really good about that.
Well, I am a capitalist. I say that on the show all the time. I think making money is a really good thing because the more I have, the more I can spend, the more I can give to, organizations that I believe in. So I'm certainly not a not-for-profit, love to support them.
Yeah.
Is this something that really makes the cost of the wine be more expensive because of all of the standards you have to, put in place in your vineyards? Does it make the wine more expensive? Because I was shocked, and I don't know if Bonterra is one of yours. I know they're an organic wine, but Their wine is not expensive. I don't know how they do it, but it's very affordable.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting about all this is now that we're getting, you know, there's a whole lag time of when the vineyards are certified and then when you have, a bottle of wine that has the seal on it and right. is actually released. So what's interesting is a lot of these certified wines, Tangent, Baileyana, Paraiso, Halter Ranch, Robert Hall, they're very affordable, and we're starting to track kind of the awards and the things that they're getting. Unbelievable. I mean, you can find bottles of wine under $10. You can find bottles of wine under $20. And these are wines that are getting, 91s, 93s.
Wine Spectator, tell people about that, too, because I wouldn't know how to rate a wine, but I know 91 is a really good
It's a really good score. And the great, what I love about wine is, we go to events
everything.
And we pour.
That's what I love about wine, everything.
exactly. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can go and pour these wines, and there's something for everyone.
Right.
There is, it doesn't matter. I can have a dozen wines from, different areas, different winemaking styles, different vineyards. There is something for everyone.
Now, would you rate yourself as a wine connoisseur? I'm the absolute polar opposite. I have two categories for wine. I like it or I don't.
Absolutely. And I'm sort of in that category too. You realize I wasn't really brought into this because I knew anything about the wine business. I was brought into this because I had a master's in agriculture and I taught at Cal Poly and, they hired me, 12 years ago to do education and outreach.
So
I'm like a little bit out of my sandbox now that we're working on wine. I've got a lot to learn.
Right. Well, that's good. And the learning, what a learning process. I love it. But when people say, fruit forward and that little burst of cinnamon and a hint of grapefruit. And I mean, I've sipped a lot of wine and I've yet to taste a little bit of cinnamon or a little bit of grapefruit, but there's hope. I hope I taste a lot more.
Well, we'd love to have you out. I mean, we've got some, I've got some very cool friends and,
Jim is one of them.
Jim is one of them. And we would just love to have you out and show you around and, we could connect you up with winemakers and.
I could do that as a business expense. I love that.
I know. It's a tough day at the office, isn't it?
It's a tough day at the office. Mrs. Green calls in from a winery and she wasn't making sense. I'm only kidding. That won't happen.
Yeah, and about the whole, economy, economics of it, I agree. I think, when you can be profitable, you can do good things in the world.
And go out of business, and what good is that?
And that doesn't do any good. So I'm finding really, really affordable wines that you can feel that are great, right? And you can feel really great about how they were produced. I mean, we're talking, farm workers with 401ks, and we're talking about people that are really doing the right thing in terms of the land and the people.
Talk about that a little bit more, because that's important to me. So it is, I know about sustainability from the inside out, the system of sustainability. So when you say wine workers with a 401k, that's impressive.
Who wouldn't want to support a company that is doing that,
and you can
trust it. You know that the system is independently verified. It's been reviewed by, top experts from throughout the country. You asked, you said, well, are these bottles of wine more expensive? I don't think so. I mean, I think each of our certified folks have wines in different price points and things like that. But, if there's two bottles of wine, if they're the same quality and they're the same price and one's been certified in terms of how they're treating the land and the people, then why wouldn't you want to pick that wine? So
I agree. And what I'm really trying to do as a core value for Mrs. Green's mission is to talk about it's all about choices. Every day we make thousands of choices. And you referred something to that in the earlier part of the broadcast. But it's about really going into the store and taking a little bit of time to see what you're picking off the shelf and putting into your cart. And that's what this is, looking for it. Maybe that wine is at Whole Foods. Maybe it is at Trader Joe's. Maybe it is at the local, there's a great locally owned wine store here called Catavinos, and it's owned by a woman, and that was her dream. She was an architect from California, and she has all of her wines are under $15 a bottle. Something like this, go in there and see if she's got it, and if she doesn't, there's still, to me, healthier choices. But know a little bit about where you're voting with your money. That's how I feel. Every time you spend money, you're voting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our website that has that doesn't have all the sort of boring technical stuff, we've got sipthegoodlife.org. It has information on all these farmers and all these vineyards because there are, like, real-life people farming this.
Right. I loved your website. It was really – it was not boring at all, and it didn't really bog down in minutia at all. It's for somebody like me to look and say, what is this organization and what are you doing?
Right. And, you know, and in addition to that, we've got the whole section with the wines. So you can, you know, go and look and see specifically what brands, you know, have wines right now that are certified, and then specifically what wines are certified. Again, you know, I don't, you know, all the wines are kind of being distributed differently and things like that, but you can always go to their, you know, websites directly and get the, you know, get a $12 bottle of wine and, you know, let them know that you really appreciate what they're doing in terms of their, you know, SIP sustainability and practice certification.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to come right back. We are talking to Chris O'Connor, who is the Executive Director of Sustainability and Practice SIP, and she is talking about great wines and healthy vineyards. We're going to go into a little bit more detail about the process when we come back. Stay tuned. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, where time is flying because we are having fun. We are talking to Chris O'Connor from Sustainability and Practice, SIP, that helps to make sure we're drinking great, healthy wines that are coming from healthy vineyards. And Chris, I just have two really quick announcements that I forgot, and I don't want to forget this because it's really important for the people here in Tucson, but Tucson Clean and Beautiful, one of my favorite organizations, American Retro Works, another one, and Cartridge World are partnering with the Center Emerge, Center Against Domestic Abuse, to they're doing another electronics recycling event, and it's next Saturday from 8 to 1 at Randolph Way, so you cannot miss it. It's centrally located in Tucson. They will take TVs, monitors, printers, and other peripheral items, cartridges, your print cartridges, cell phones. So please really put that on your calendar if you have something to get out of your garage. They don't take refrigerators and air conditioning through this program. And also, if you do a TV, there's a $10 charge, which is really minimal. Please just don't shove it in the landfill. That's all we care about. And it's Tucson Clean and Beautiful next Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. That was one announcement. And the other one is that we have a great contest going on at MrsGreensWorld.com, and it's MrsGreensWorld.com. And we're giving away two nights and $100 towards your food service at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort. And anybody from around the country can enter. So if you want to fly in from New Jersey and have a two-night stay on us and $100 with Legendary World as our sponsor, and Mrs. Green, we're co-sponsoring it. So just check out Mrs. Green's World. You have to do something to enter the contest, and it's fun. So MrsGreensWorld.com. Okay, Chris, let's talk about, please throw in your website, and I tell people they can always visit Mrs. Green's World because a lot of people are driving, but what's your website?
It's sipthegoodlife.org, and who doesn't want to sip the good life?
Who doesn't want to sip the good life?
That's and, you know, we really like that. It's an acronym. SIP is an acronym for sustainability in practice, and we like that because it's, it's an action. It's very, specific. It moves. It's going to evolve as we learn more information. But on our website, you can find information about, you know, where we're going to be and where our certified folks will be. You can learn more about the farmers themselves. And, of course, you can learn about specifically what wines are certified. And we would really encourage you to, you know, if you've got a favorite, you know, wine shop or, you know, food store or restaurant that's going to be, you know, inclined towards, you know, local, sustainable types of cuisine, let them know about this program and that you want them to be carrying SIP certified wines.
Okay, that's good. And would they be able to get them? I mean, 66
absolutely.
Is not a lot. But, okay, that's really great. Be active. That's what I say. Now, what about, how's it trending? I'm always interested in trends. Are you finding more farmers that want to be a part of it? Is it moving in the right direction? You said there'll be more acres, but is it catching on a little bit more?
Oh, sure. I think, you know, in terms of certification, our first year, for our pilot year, we had 3,700 acres.
Okay.
And then that grew to over 11,000. Now we're looking at about, you know, 13, 14,000 for this year. So, you know, I think we can all feel really, you know, great about, you know, there's a lot of, you know, information about there out there about, you know, green, as you would know.
And the more people ask the question, the more it'll grow.
I think people really want to substantiate that.
Yep,
and,
I agree.
You know, and say, yeah, you know, we believe in this. This is what we're doing. And, oh, by the way, it's been certified. So
as
I think there's a trend.
Well, and I love that it's trending up. If you went from, you know, around 3,000 to 13,000, that's great. Now, we do have a caller, which is always exciting, and we'll see what they have to say. I really would like to get in the time that we have left, to ask about water. If people, you know, it's one of my pet issues. It's an area that I'm very concerned about, living in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm certainly not trying to put you on the spot, but on the sustainability scale, is growing wine a huge drain on the water supply where you are? I would assume if it is, you do everything to minimize that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, water, you know, California, I mean, water is a huge issue, and it is a, you know, a finite resource, and it's very expensive to, you know, pump water and deliver water. So, you know, part of our certification is, you know, looking at systems efficiency and, you know, making sure that people are doing the best job that you can. Depending on the amount of rainfall that you have in an area will sort of dictate how much water you have to apply. That being said, wine grapes are really the only crop that you under-irrigate on purpose. You don't irrigate a wine grape vine as much as you could or as much as it would want, because we want, you know, really tight little berries with lots of flavor. We don't want them, you know, inflated with lots of water. So from that standpoint, it's really a great crop in terms of water use efficiency.
And what about things like rainwater harvesting? Do you get points for that if you're collecting rain in rain barrels and using some of the rainwater?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it would be a pretty small plot that if you could collect water in a rain barrel and have that supply. But certainly the water that we get, we want it to be effective, which that means that we'll be going into the groundwater to be recharging. So we do lots of things to keep our soils healthy and keep them covered so that they're able to, you know, capture and really protect the rainfall.
And I think that's another topic that we could go on and on about, but I think it might have been the person from Fetzer when she talked about how important it is if you have healthy soil, you don't have all these inherent problems with bugs and toxicity and all that. If you're starting with a good, healthy beginning, a lot of the problems are minimized. It's not healthy soil that produces all of the problems that you could have if you're, you know, laden with pesticides and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, we're really looking about, you know, healthy, biologically diverse systems, because they're more in balance and they're less susceptible to, you know, single, you know, pest threats or whatever. And absolutely, a healthy soil is going to do more for that vine than a lot of different things.
I remember it was such a new journey for me then, but when they were talking about it, and of course it might have been Bonterra, I think, that we interviewed, and they talked about the birdhouses and the size of the birdhouses had to be because they ate a certain size bug to control the population. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I just don't think about that when I'm buying a bottle of wine.
There's, again, you know, balanced, healthy, diverse biological systems. We're really trying to, you know, make it as healthy and diverse as we can, because in the end, that is more balanced and is healthier in the long term.
Everybody, healthy for the planet, healthier for us, healthier for everybody. I call it the green trifecta. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. It was great interviewing you. I wish you well. I'm going to take you up on that offer of a tour. Trust me, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And you heard
anytime. Here.
Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Pick up a copy of the Green Times. It's an authentic, awesome, over-the-top organization. Happy weekend.